listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
You're listening to CJLO News. Quebec has tabled a bill seeking to expand its secularism laws. If it passes, Quebec will ban public prayer, extend its religious symbols ban to daycare workers, stop public institutions from exclusively offering food based on religious traditions, such as halal or kosher meals. It will phase out public subsidies for religious private schools, and it will see an end to the use of religious symbols in communications by public institutions. For example, graphics or photography used by a municipality will no longer be able to depict a woman in a hijab. It will also see the banning of prayer rooms in schools, including in post-secondary institutions like Concordia and McGill. All of this requires the repealing of Quebec's Freedom of Worship Act, which the bill would accomplish. Many groups are concerned that these restrictive policies infringe on freedom of expression and religion and target minority groups in Quebec. Concordia's Muslim Students Association says that the prayer room at Concordia University is an important gathering place and is visited by at least 500 Muslim students every day. Shaheen Ashraf is a board member for the Canadian Council of Muslim Women here in Montreal. She says these proposed changes target the Muslim minority specifically.
I have contributed to society by the grace of God in a good way all the time, and I cover my head, and nobody has a problem with that, you know, except the government just creating rules for nothing. I mean, they create problems for things that don't exist or matter.
Ashraf says much of the issue comes down to the very definition of secularism held by the CAQ party, a party which is slipping in the polls and will likely struggle to face re-election in the coming year.
I mean, define secularism to me. What is secularism according to your belief? To me, today in Quebec, the secularism is like another religion that is being forced down our throats.
For Ashraf, though, the root of these policy proposals comes down simply to xenophobia and racism.
It is the fear of the other. You don't know me, and you think, oh my God, she covers her hair. She covers her head. She looks very different to me. She has brown skin. I don't want her here, you know? And of course, the leaders are encouraging that.
For CJLO News, I'm Adam Innes.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You're on CJLO 1690 AM, and this is Death of the Mid-Range. I know it's not Max's voice today. It's mine. Unfortunately, I'm running the episode a bit solo for now. Max is on his way. Let me reassure you. My name is Libasikuela Jallo, and I'm your host for this beautiful show. Hope y'all doing okay. Please bear with me. It's my first time on this side of the desk. I usually on this side of the desk. For those of y'all at home listening, we have like a big old radio board to run the whole thing, and I've never ran it, and it's my first time running it. So I'm a bit nervous. But we are gonna get through this together. But yeah, welcome back. It was a beautiful week of basketball. A whole lot of stuff happened. The Toronto Raptors lost to the Hornets. So I'll start with that for all the Raptors fans at home. And also, I was crashing out last week, if you remember, on the Washington Wizards. And guess what? We won a game. We beat the Atlanta Hawks. So I guess we really are back, but then you know we got blown out by the Indiana Pacers. So tough times, But yeah, really happy to be back. We'll be getting into the top of the East, the Detroit Pistons, and the Toronto Raptors, just mentioned. And we also want to talk about the crazy slash depressing story out in Sacramento. Really trying to figure out what they need to do. It's been really tough for Doug Christie and the whole gang over there. So yeah, but without further ado, we will get into, the players of the week. A couple of players I wanted to mention that have really stepped up this week. And my first pick was Brandon Ingram. We all saw the game winner, right, against Toronto's very own Pascal Siakam. This has been such a great season for the Toronto Raptors. And as we said, it has been communism, you know, communist hoops, as we like to say. But they have had this alpha scorer in Brandon Ingram, you know. And it's been needed at times, although I feel like as of late, because they are on a back-to-back loss since they did lose to the Knicks yesterday. It can fall into give Brandon Ingram the ball and kind of back off, which, you know, can that's not what you want to do. But when it works, it works, right? When you have nothing going on and you have a 6'10", like Emmanuel quickly called him, like you have a 6'10" shot maker who, like, literally nobody can contest his shot. Like, of course you're going to want to give him the ball. And in that kind of situation, before Brandon Ingram, the Raptors definitely didn't have that man. And I don't think it could come from somebody like Scottie Barnes in clutch situations. It's just a different way of playing. I feel like we've seen throughout NBA history, tough shot makers in the mid-range usually have a pretty good success rate. Literally saw SGA, crazy fourth quarter by SGA yesterday. Just when you live in the mid-range, it's easy for you to get your shot off, I feel like, in the clutch. But yeah, Brandon Ingram, he had back-to-back 30-point games, just really helping this Raptors team kind of elevate to another level. I don't know if we're ready to call them contenders yet, even though they are in the position of a contender right now, sitting at the second seed. But definitely a good playoff team that you don't want to face. And then the second player I had is De'Aaron Fox. I feel like the San Antonio Spurs have really gone kind of unnoticed ever since Wemby went down. And I think that's good. That's literally why it's working with De'Aaron Fox, because he's making them quote-unquote boring, because there's no storyline there, right? Wemby goes down, literally Fox comes back. They keep winning games, they keep being entertaining, and now you don't have any big stories to write. De'Aaron Fox was probably the guy that was like, everybody was like, yeah, we good. We got Castle, we just drafted Harper. Like, bro, you good, you can be traded now. And I feel like that's just when you have an all-star point guard, and as soon as you get, you know, you draft a couple point guards, you're like, we need to trade them. Same thing out in Atlanta. You got Jalen Johnson hooping, and now people are like, man, we need to trade Trae Young. Why can't they just coexist? I think it's been really impressive, and it has gone really under the radar. He had like 25-plus point games in a row, and the Spurs team has just been rolling in the West. So yeah, I just wanted to highlight these two. And then the last one I had was Cooper Flagg. Obviously, it's no surprise that Cooper is hooping. He was the number one pick in the draft. But I did have this stat. In the first 10 games of his career, he averaged 14 points, 6.5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.2 steals on 41% shooting. And then in his last 10 games, that's bumped up to 20 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.5 steals, and now 51% from the field. He had the crazy 35-point games against the Clippers are bad. Against the Clippers, youngest player in NBA history to score these points, younger than Mr. LeBron James. So I'm definitely going to give you credit for that. He's been so much better as of late, which is, again, very normal for all the people that were calling him a bust or whatever. He's a rookie. I know he's the number one pick in the draft, but he's still a rookie coming in, basically being asked to be a franchise player. AD has barely played. D'Angelo Russell is not the dimer he thinks he is. Klay Thompson, you know, has been getting into some controversy lately with a couple. He's been talking this year. So this team has been kind of in shambles, and he's being asked to not only be the point guard, but also be the scorer, but also be that guy in the clutch. And granted, he's like number four, I think, in clutch points this year. And again, he's a rookie. And he's a rookie whose scoring wasn't even his main attribute, I would say, right? We really preached defense, versatility, like a lot of good instincts, playmaking, and his scoring wasn't even the thing that was advertised the most about him, you know? And to see him kind of live in the mid-range, for example, against the Clippers, but even in general, has been impressive. The way he can get to that mid-range, right? You know, right-hand pull-up, left-hand pull-up has been impressive, and then he can also get to the rim. He had a crazy play on Zubac. We just kind of like got ahead of Hezzy, and it just jumped off 1 foot, dunked on him. So those are things you can't teach, man. Those are things you can't teach. And obviously, I think this new direction that the Mavericks are going to head in is going to be very beneficial for him, just because to build around him is probably the best way to do it. I did kind of say it. I'm not going to be like, I told you so, because Max isn't here. I wish he was here so I could tell him I told you so. But I feel like we could all saw this coming with the Dallas Mavericks, and just take it easy, you know, let him run the offense, let him do what he's been doing. And if he keeps progressing like that, Cooper's definitely going to pan out how everybody had him panning out. But yeah, enough talks on the players of the week. We'll be back next week with players of the week, of course, and maybe I will qualify, because if you guys don't know, I have my season opener for my men's league basketball for all of you. I know you don't care, but hopefully I'm a hoop tonight, so I can make the players of the week next week. So like we said, we wanted to get into the top of the East, which we predicted would be the Knicks and the Cavs. I think a lot of people predicted it to be the Knicks and the Cavs, but it's actually Raptors and Pistons. Gosh, is this the early 2000s? I don't know, but the Pistons have been amazing, really, really amazing. I think they're 16-4, if I'm not mistaken. They had that crazy 13-game win streak that was ended by the Boston Celtics. But yeah, they've been amazing. Cade Cunningham is putting together just an MVP season. The biggest thing that has changed, I think, is, well, not only the wins, which is putting a lot more light on him, but also the fact that he can get to the line now. But a lot of people have said that the whistle just changed on him because his status is kind of changing in the NBA. But I won't dive into these conspiracies. He's been in constant attack, just constant kind of leader mode, always getting, it doesn't matter who he suits up with on any given night, he's just always giving, you know, giving his best. And he's really able to empower his teammates, just like a superstar, you know, just like the LeBrons, the Lucas. He's in that tier now, 100%. And it's also helped a lot that there's been a lot of internal growth within this Pistons organization. Jalen Duren, who can now take people off the dribble. He's got a whole bag, which is just an insane progression that I don't think anybody saw coming. Of course, I think we all knew that he was going to be a really good center, but the way he's hooping this year, I saw somebody up and then pull up. I mean, golly. And then with Isaiah Stewart coming off the bench, he's also been, you know, such an enforcer, and they have one of the toughest front courts in the NBA. Their offseason, which was called out by a lot of people, ends up actually being pretty good. You know, you got Duncan Robinson being able to come in and really help with the shooting. And Caris LeVert also is not horrible, right? He's not horrible. I liked the Caris LeVert pickup. I thought having another ball handler and another guy who can, you know, put the ball in the hoop and also handle the ball would be really good. And, you know, it hasn't been amazing. And I think he has been injured as well. But it has been good. And maybe a good placeholder until Jaden Ivey comes back to what he can be. And I think he could definitely have, like, that backup kind of guard all to himself and really run with that second unit. Especially if now he has to share minutes with, you know, Darren Jenkins, the big revelation. And no, this team has just been incredibly good. And I can't believe I've been talking about him for 2 minutes. I haven't mentioned Asar Thompson, who has been just a huge revelation last year and now is cementing himself more this year. Out of the two twins, he's definitely the more defensively focused one. And he's definitely also the one that is still needs to work on his offense. He has kind of no pull-up game right now, no really like go-to move, but he can still fit in into an offense because, you know, he's such a good cutter, such a good cutter. And in an offense that moves so much, such as the Detroit Pistons, having a guy like Ausar Thompson, who not only is really athletic, but also such a smart cutter, is great. Because Jalen Duren is always setting, you know, these off-ball picks on the wings, which always allows either the two guys on the wings to cut in, right? And Duncan Robinson doesn't cut in like that, so that gives a lot of leeway for Ausar Thompson to just go to the hoop. And of course, you know, Cade Cunningham is always going to find him. This is going to be my first time just sending you guys the ad break, so bear with me. We are going to go through the very first ad break I'm going to send somebody to. So stay tuned, and when we'll come back, we will keep going on with the show. Be right back.
New tracks from the album and opening sets from local legends Amory and Girl with Dream. Doors at 8 and show at 8:30. Tickets are $12 in advance on thepointofsale.com and $15 at the door.
Push that button.
Yo, one to them.
How about
yo,
this one?
One to them.
Say something quick. The security guard coming.
What?
Say something quick.
Say what?
The Caribbean Callaloo, the 2-times award-winning show on CJLO. 1690 on your AM dial every Saturday from 2 p.m. till 4 p.m. 514-848-7471.
Who's that girl, boy?
You can't talk, but you can see her.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. You are still on CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal, and this is still Death of the Mid-Range. I'm just, you know, still getting settled in. If you're only joining us now, Max had some troubles getting to the studio this morning, so he should be here maybe in about 10 minutes, hopefully. So it's just me today, and it's actually a really weird rhythm, because I kind of came in kind of nonchalant and stuff, being like, oh, it's going to be fine, whatever. But it's definitely a different rhythm when you're always talking, because usually, you know, it's a back and forth, so I can, like, kind of catch my breath and stuff. During the ad break, I had to run over and get me some water, because, you know, my mouth was dry, man. But yeah, this Pistons team, man, I feel like it's one of the best stories in the NBA, right? It's just, it's so great. I feel like this is what we watch sports to begin with. I can still picture that Cade Cunningham, when they came off that 28 losing streak 2 years ago, going to the podium and saying, man, we not 2-26 bad. Sorry, that's not good math by me at all. We're not 2-28 bad. And, you know, he was so passionate. And the way he was talking about it, I was like, man, I believe you. Even though everybody else was clowning him, I was like, man, you know, I was like, you make me want to believe. And I'm not saying this because, you know, my Wizards are tanking right now, and well, we're very much 2-17 bad for ourselves, you know, but it's not the same thing. And I feel like the turnaround has been great. Just no panic, you know, no panicking, no, you know, trade demands, no controversy. Detroit has just been making its way. It has just been making its way, and it's kind of blocked out the outside noise, which sometimes it's good to listen to the outside noise. Talking to you, Nico Harrison. But they've really just gone on about their way, and they've believed in their process, and they've drafted well. They have drafted really well. I mean, all these dudes that I was just talking about before were all drafted by Detroit, and it's really come into now a great collective where all these guys are kind of embodying, I'd say, less of the bad boy Pistons, because, you know, they do shoot threes and they are pleasing to watch offensively, but this core wants to be the intimidator. They want to be the enforcer. They want to take it to you, you know, and they want you to be scared of them. And it's been great, right? I think chemistry also plays a great part. They have a good amount of roster continuity. And even if you take a look at, for example, their core, right, they're all on the same path. They're all within the same age range. I mean, Cade is 24, Durant is 22, Ausar is 22, Isaiah Stewart is 24, and Jaden Ivey, who we haven't talked about yet because, well, he hasn't played. He's 22, but he hasn't played. He had a great year last year. he played what, maybe 20 games, right? And he only played 20 games. That's a problem. And he averaged 17 points. And the year before that, he was really good too. Just a really good scorer. But, you know, when you're out for that long, it's really hard to come back into a team that when you left it wasn't competitive. And then when you come back, they're like first in the East. And, you know, you really want to fit in, not fit out, like LeBron said. Well, he said the inverse, but, you know. And it's interesting because they objectively would benefit from him playing, right? But it's always weird because you have this rotation that's settled in. And Darren Jenkins has taken a lot of these guard minutes, you know? And, I mean, it's going to be J.B. Bickerstaff's job to really kind of incorporate him into the offense. Because I don't think any talk of him being traded is just stupid, you know? When you have a lot of good players, like I just said before the ad break, you got to find a way to make them work together. But, yeah, and talking about J.B. Bickerstaff, I haven't seen the odds, but I hope he's one of the front runners for Coach of the Year. I mean, it's insane. It's just insane. The process that he's been on with this team, the process he's been on is impressive. He never quit on him. And that's for any tanking team. We do look at, you know, picks, how the organization, you know, the GMs and all that, but coaches matter, right? Coaches matter. If you can get the sweet spot between Mark Daignaud, for the OKC Thunder, was kind of that sweet spot where you have a coach that is really good at player development, but can also coach them once, you know, they get competitive. And that's what we talked with the Orlando Magic a couple weeks ago, where when they were struggling, you're like, well, is Jamal Mosley ready to, you know, coach a good offense? Is he ready? And since then, they have been winning a lot more games. But yeah, Detroit basketball is back, y'all. It's just, I think it's good for the league, really good for the league. Are they contenders? I don't know. That was the other bullet point I had. It was like, do they need to make a move? Do they not need to make a move? I never know. Because last year, they definitely needed another person who could create besides Kate Cunningham. And it kind of Schroeder had to, maybe he tried to do his best. But, I mean, you know, the jersey was maybe a little too big. They probably do. If we're being honest, they probably do. That's just the sad truth of the NBA, especially if you're trying to beat the OKC Thunder. But right now, they're entertaining. They're nice. And I really love their core. And I would hate a trade to pick all that up. But that's the truth of the NBA. Sometimes you're just one trade away. And sometimes you got to sacrifice somebody. But right now, I definitely do advise watching these Pistons, especially that Jalen Duren to Kate Cunningham two-man game. And yeah, Pistons is back, baby. Now, my apologies. Now, before jumping into some Raptors talk, maybe I'll save that for Max. So maybe hopefully he gets here soon. I did want to talk about the Miami Heat. Every week in topics that we want to go about, I always have the Miami Heat in the if we have time column. And as you've noticed in our outros, we rarely have the enough time. You know, we rarely have enough time. And so we haven't really talked about the Heat, but there is something really special going in Miami. There's been an entire revamp of Heat culture, quote unquote, because now they're able to play offense and good offense at that. Before, if you've watched any Miami game, you know, it's like, man, we're not going to score and you're not going to score either. Right. So it's going to be ugly. But since we defend like madmen, we are probably going to win this game. And this year has been totally different. Bam is shooting threes. Hello. It only took like 10 years. And it's looking good too. They have such a fast-paced offense, and training for Norman Powell has definitely helped that, because he loves to get shots up quick. He don't swing the rock either, by the way. He's just efficient, so it's not a problem, but Norman don't swing the ball Powell. That's what I'm going to start calling him now, because he doesn't swing the ball. But he is such a good player, and he's so efficient that it actually kind of works out. They've been crazy in transition, but not even in transition, because even in the half court, they look like a transition team. They go so fast. And they've gone in the way of the new trend that we saw with the Grizzlies. It was like no middle pick and rolls, and they don't have any on-ball screens. So they just kind of, they don't run any plays, you know? They just kind of run that motion offense. And then whoever gets a shot gets a shot. I seen Bam Adebayo take threes, like, and the shot clock's not even below 20 seconds. I'm like, okay, something's definitely changing. You know, something's definitely changing. And there's so much to say, especially at the guard position. I feel like Davion Mitchell, who, shout out to Max, who's Max is one of Max's favorite players. Davion Mitchell is one of the best assist-to-turnover ratio guys in the NBA. And it helps when you're trying to run really fast and get into your offense really fast. So that's really fit with them. And he also puts a lot of pressure on the rim. That's another part of Davion Mitchell's game that's underrated, because obviously he's not big. He's kind of a small point guard, but the amount of pressure he can put on the rim is impressive. And he's willing to kick out, really willing to kick out. And when you have, you know, guys like Norman Powell, Tyler Herro, who just came back, it's easy offense. And talking about Tyler Herro, a lot of Heat faithful were scared of him coming back because, well, last time he was on this team was when the Heat were playing against the Cavs, right? First round of the playoffs, and he had a rough go, but he also had the ball a lot. And I remember watching the series, and he was struggling. He was really struggling because they were putting a lot of pressure on the ball handler, and he was really struggling to come out of that. And then he comes back to this offense who's, like, really well-oiled, and the Heat are, like, third in the East, which they haven't been in a little minute now. And then he's like, man, I was out this whole time, and now he comes back. But I loved his attitude. He was like, I'm trying to fit in, right? I'm trying to fit in. It's not like we're going to go back to me being ball dominant or whatnot. He's like, I'm trying to fit in. And he has fit in, by the way, still putting great numbers. I think he put up, like, 26 or 27 in his first, like, three games back. So he's fitting in, and he's enjoying it. And when they needed him to step up in the clutch, I think this week they played the Bucks. In the clutch, he was impressive. He was like, maybe I need to be a little bit more on ball. Just a little, you know, a tiny bit. And he showed why he's Tyler Herro and why he, you know, again, doesn't need to be traded. There's just discourse all the time. When a team is doing well with a one player, he's like, trade him. And, of course, I really want to get to talking about Coach Spoelstra, who, interestingly enough, has never won a Coach of the Year. You can fact check me on that. I'm telling you, he ain't never win a Coach of the Year. And maybe this is the year they give it to him. You feel me? Maybe this is the year, you know, you give it to him, because there hasn't been a big revamp, you know, in the Heat organization. They haven't changed GMs. They didn't change coach. Their roster is basically the same from last year, right? Except they got Norman Powell now. But look at how different they look. And I was listening to the Kenny Beecham podcast, and he was saying this is not a trend that you usually see in the NBA. You never see that in the NBA. You never see a team kind of change not their whole identity, even though their offense looks different. But for them to be able to change their whole offense like that with no major personal change has been really impressive. And just kind of talking of how he manages his players too. He had a presser a couple of days ago where he was talking about Nikola Jovic's minutes. And that was the game against the Pistons, which they lost by, like, I don't know, I think 5 or 10 or something like that. And they had, as a team, they had 15 turnovers. Nikola Jovic played 10 minutes and had 5 turnovers. And the way he was talking about his player wasn't, oh, man, he'll be fine, you know, he'll figure it out. He held him accountable, but in a way that's of somebody that cares, right? And in a way that's somebody that communicates with his player. And he was saying that he's not working hard enough, you know, he needs to do this, and then he'll figure it out. And the presser of Nikola Jovic right after that, of saying, man, they gave him minutes, I need to show them why they need to play me, it goes hand in hand. Because I feel like Coach Spo has explained to him why he went to the bench, why his minutes went away, why he needs to, you know, do this and that. And that's why every year, everybody in the GM survey says that Coach Spo is the best player, the best coach in the NBA, you know, because I feel like he's really built a connection with these guys. And even on Kalera Ware, everybody was like, man, Spo's being so hard on him and whatnot. And look at him, the switch that he had after that first game against the Knicks, we got dominated by Mitchell Robinson. And in the second game against the Knicks, he gets like 15 rebounds, like 9 of them offensive. And now we're not even getting on him for not being physical enough, right? And that's all Coach Spo, because he's seen the potential in these guys and he's holding them accountable. I will finish my rant. We are going to go to an ad break earlier than usual today. I know, earlier than usual. I've also noticed that Max is at the door. So I would love for me to go open the door to Max. And then when we come back from ad break, Mr. Maximilian Calinescu will be with us. Stay right here.
From November 20th to 30th, experience RIDM, the Montreal International Documentary Festival. Bold films that redefine documentary cinema and reframe how we see the world. Featuring screenings, concerts, discussions with filmmakers, and celebrations that carry the experience into the night. RIDM, November 20th to 30th in Montreal. Info and tickets at ridm.ca.
Listen to Madonna Talk on CJLO 1690 AM, Saturdays 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., hosted by Kamala Madantak Wright, an introduction to revolutionary reggae consciousness and the Caribbean indigenous community. Maroons, Caramanti, Kumina, Caribs, Taino, and Rastafarian culture, issues affecting the BIPOC community.
Welcome back to Death at a Mid-Range.
Yeah, welcome back, guys.
On CJLO, or 1690 in Montreal. This is still Death of the Mid-Range, guys. We'll redo the introduction. I know you guys felt weird because I did it. We'll redo it. So, me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on.
Hello, everybody. My name is Maximilian Calinescu.
And I'm Libasi Guerra Diallo.
And welcome to On Time.
Death of the Mid-Range. If you're just joining us right now.
Yeah, you're on time. That's exactly what time you're supposed to be here. Yeah, sure, there's nothing about alarms not going off. There's nothing about $18 Uber rides that hit every red light.
What time does the show start, Maximilian?
Apparently at 9:30.
Yeah. If you've made it through my 30 minutes of me trying to piece together this episode, I appreciate you.
And it was probably great. It was probably great.
I did my best. It was like I was telling him earlier. I feel like I'm schizophrenic. I'm just talking to myself. Like I was telling him earlier, before, like when I went to the first ad break, I had to run to get water because I never noticed the rhythm it takes. You know, I'm like, you're talking, I'm talking, you know, and it's much better that way because then when I'm talking, I'm like, somebody gonna answer me? You know, somebody gonna answer me? I was just on a really passionate rant about Coach Spo.
Yep,
and how it's been so impressive. How I was saying that I was listening to the Kenny Beecham podcast, and it never happens in the NBA to have a whole revamp of a certain aspect of your team without any major personnel change. Right? They didn't change coach.
Right.
They didn't change all that. And it has been really impressive, and he deserves credit. And I was saying that maybe this is the year where you give him Coach of the Year.
Yeah, he never won Coach of the Year, which is really funny for someone who has been rated as the number one coach or number two behind Greg Popovich every year in the NBA, and he's never won it. I also think he's been granted with a lot of teams whose players kind of exceed a lot of expectations. Yeah. You have LeBron James, D. Wade, Jimmy Butler,
Caleb Martin.
And it's hard. Caleb Gabe Vincent.
Caleb
Martin. Hayward Highsmith.
Hell yeah.
But it's interesting there because I think when it comes to the viewpoint, the big three, quote unquote, was the thing that made the Miami Heat great. Jimmy Butler is what made the Miami Heat great. Right? And then Coach Spo gets a little thrown to the side when we're looking at these things because what's unexpected is how good the production comes out of Jimmy Butler or how great the production of the big three is. And it's unfair. It's unfair to Coach Spo, who's been called the second best coach in the league, now first, because Greg Popovich, God bless your soul, was retired and is now,
he's the head of operations or something, something. They just want to keep him in the organization, which I really rock with.
Which is a great option to have. But no, I think the Miami Heat has been great too. Their offense, I mean, they're still, to my knowledge, they're still third in the East. I don't think anything's good.
They should be, because even like everybody's been losing. Every big team has been losing.
Yeah, the Pistons broke their 13-win streak.
The Cavs have 9 losses, bro.
And the Toronto Raptors lose 2 in a row.
And let's pivot. Charlotte. You know what, Coach Spo, we love you. Miami Heat, we love you. But let's pivot. I was, you know, I was filibustering, as they say.
Filibustering. Look at you.
And I'm sorry.
Look at you.
I'm getting comfortable in this chair, man. I'm getting comfortable. But yeah, the Raptors, I was telling him earlier that my player of the week was Brandon Ingram.
Wow. Yeah, he deservedly so.
I'm saying.
Game winner. His production's been high. You want to hear mine?
Yes.
Jay Huff.
No.
Jay Huff has averaged this week more blocks per game than anybody in the NBA.
No.
He scored the first 14 points in the first quarter of the Chicago game. Granted, he did not score another point in that game. However, he did. He's been averaging like 3.5 blocks this week.
You know what the problem is? It's because he is now leading the league, or he's second in the NBA in blocks. Guess who was second before him? Alexar. and I was you know, like I was saying earlier, the Pacers blew our bottoms out. So thank you, Maximilian, for reminding us.
No, it's just it's not that like Jay Huff is like an amazing, crazy Brandon Ingram type week. I could have said Tyrese Maxey. I could have said 1,000 different names.
I said De'Aaron Fox too.
Yeah, and it's just very shocking to see how amazing. Yeah, De'Aaron Fox. It's shocking to see the production out of Jay Huff just be great, and it's kind of what we all wanted and expected out of him. The 3-point shot. He's shooting like 50% from three right now on the week, not over the first the season. I want to make that clear. But yeah, no, just very impressive production. I thought I would give him a little shout out. But yeah, let's move on to the Toronto Raptors. Guys.
How about them Hornets, huh?
And the Knicks. The Knicks game was borderline unwatchable last night because of the way that we lost so spectacularly. However, I'm really high on the Raptors right now. The thing is, though, and I would love to sit here and I feel like a coach whose team has been like winning a bunch of games and then all of a sudden we lose really nasty and now all I can focus on is like getting better.
Yeah.
But the team's chemistry, I call it communist basketball.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone's getting the rock. What really hurts is not having RJ there as a backup, because Brandon Ingram can go white hot and get a game winner or be the offense when we need him to be. However, in that moment, like we had this week, if he's off, right? Or if Scotty's looks like his knee was hurting last night, we are starting to lose a lot of production and consistent buckets that we're used to getting. And also, Jakob Poeltl was out last night. And with a team like the New York Knicks, oh my God, did we get destroyed, because we can't guard anybody in the paint. However, with the starting lineup of Emmanuel Quickley, Brandon Ingram, Scotty Barnes, RJ Barrett and Jakob Poeltl, it's really hard to have a hole in that lineup. The only poor defender in that entire lineup is Emmanuel Quickley. All of those other guys are massive, huge guys with long wingspans. We see we're racking up steals, we're racking up transition buckets, and our production's been great. I can confidently say the only bad player in this stretch has been Grady Dick, which is really...
It's been season-wide, though, for Grady.
And it's really sad because I really love Grady Dick. However, I don't know why we're not running like floppies for him, or I feel like you said this.
It's a 2K play.
That's that JJ Redick play, bro. But anyways, what I'm just saying is that we're expecting too much production out of him in decision making when he is, you know, he can go to the rim and he can make his own shot.
But that's the point I had, because and I did a little bit of research, and basically everybody on the Raptors is having like a career year.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter efficiency or whatnot. And the biggest thing I noticed with Brandon Ingram, who had crazy high usage rate back in the day, this is his lowest usage rate since his rookie days.
Yeah.
And it's been good, but in some of the tape I watched, it's at times it did fall into, let's get out the way and let Ingram cook, right?
Yeah.
And that goes against the communist hoops that we were talking about, right?
Yeah.
And when it works, it's great, right? Against the gosh darn Indiana Pacers, it's great because he's making every shot.
Yeah. Right?
But when it doesn't go in, I think he went, 11 for 26 last night? Something like that.
He did not shoot well.
So it gets bad. And that's where you got to remember that Quickley can create, you know, Barnes can create. And that's where you got to diversify. Also, you guys were two starters down yesterday. I think Jameson Battle started or something. yesterday.
Yeah, but they didn't play him. It was really confusing.
His minutes have been weird this year.
Well, it's really funny. I was reading a comment, and it was like, I've never seen a coach hate Jameson Battle so much. Like, he makes one mistake, and Darko subs him out. And which is a little tough, because I have a feeling that Jameson Battle or Grady Dick should be starting for spacing reasons, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, our starting lineup has been great, but we do need more of a three-point threat. And we have not been shooting the three well. We shot the three great in Indiana, and that was a large part of the reason why we were very successful. However, our three-point ability is not the best. We have a bunch of guys who can shoot threes. Jameson Battle is our only elite three-point shooter, and everyone else kind of falls in between the cracks. And listen, I don't want to focus on the negatives of the Toronto Raptors. We're the second seed in the East right now, even after two losses. It's just hard to see these holes in otherwise a great offensive system. I really want to shout out Darko.
Yeah.
Darko Rajakovic, because he is so fantastic at getting everyone hyped. We saw the team go 1-4 at the start. I'm guessing they got yelled at so hard in that locker room. 100%. And I know they're getting yelled at by Garrett Temple and Darko right now as we speak in practice. Because we can't guard anything at the rim, meaning Nick Richards, please come to the Toronto Raptors. I need you in my life.
If you didn't hear last week's episode.
I need Nick Richards in my life.
I need him in my life.
No, just we need a backup big. I love...
That's what I was going to say. If we're going to focus on one last negative or quote-unquote hole, it's the backup big.
And Mamu has been having a historic season in my heart, but he's been having a career year.
He's not a center either.
Yeah, and he's to me, he's a power forward.
Even a small forward at that sometimes. Yeah.
And he's a big body who can get the cheeky rebound, space the floor to the three, and also be an incredible rim threat on the offensive end, because he will punish you if you're not careful for what you're doing guarding the rim. But he's not a center. We need a bigger body. And Jakob Poeltl is a very underrated defender. Mm-hmm. He's small for his position, meaning he's not a true seven-footer. He can pass the ball. He cannot shoot. And he's very slow-footed. He's really good at his job. He can get floaters. He can get you points. Like, him and Emmanuel quickly have a connection that is really quite magical. And magical in my heart. There's going to be a lot of my heart in this speech. But all that to say, I think we need a bit of a more mobile big. If anything, if this Knicks game hasn't shown us anything, like, we definitely need that big, and I need management right now to be on the market. But
Mitch had 15 rebounds, 9 of them on the offensive side of the board.
Yeah, that Trumper, freaking, like,
Hagi.
If you are,
you seen that snap where he's like, when my teammates are playing that gang music, gosh darn it.
If you want to amuse yourself, go to Mitchell Robinson's Instagram account.
Insane.
It is like, it feels like a Key and Peele sketch. Like, it doesn't feel real. Like, this is something that Dave Chappelle is like thinking of every night when he goes to bed, into a skit. But anyways, look. The Toronto Raptors have been great. Our numbers have been great. Like, Brandon Ingram averaging the hardest shots in the league while also being one of the most efficient players in the league from those spots is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm really proud of my boys.
But are they a contender?
No. We're two pieces away from a contender.
So, backup big and?
Another elite shooter.
Yeah. That's a great point.
And I because Grady Dick, I want you on this team. However, if you are in between an elite shooter and a backup big, I'm going to take those. Like, yeah. Elite shooter, not so much. Like, I still want the promise of Grady Dick as a basketball player. However, if I'm offered, let's say, Goga, right? Goga, I forget what it was.
Batadze,
right? From the
he's not even like a great backup, right? But he does move the needle a little bit.
Yeah, and because he's a true... We don't have a true seven-footer on this team. That's
true. But, right? I mean, also, like, progression isn't linear, I think, for Grady, right?
Oh, 100%.
So, but again, we go back to the question of, you know, timeline and timing. If the Raptors want to compete right now, then Grady Dick being good in year 4 might not help him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it just depends on what you want to do right now. I don't think there's any reason to panic trade or whatnot. I think you play out this year, see what this team can do in the playoffs, and then adjust next year.
Yeah, I agree. Either, like, I was talking to my godfather about this, and who's the biggest Raptors fan that I know. And it's more of the fact of, like, we want to make moves that'll move the needle, but not necessarily rock the boat.
Yeah.
Right? Because if we rock the boat, we mess up. Thank you. We mess up the... There's something about this chair, bro. I'm in your mindset. Because you don't want to screw up this chemistry, right? If we know anything about communism, the platforms are very, you know...
Switch the whole vibe of the show.
Yeah.
Let's get into a lesson about
that. No, it's just like you need everything to be a well-structured system for everything to work, right? And things are working really well. We disrupted the pieces. Jakob went out and RJ went out, right? And we lost really badly because of it. If you shake the boat right now with this team and the chemistry that it has, it's a terrible idea. I think that it will be almost like an Indiana Pacers, Paul George era thing where you trade Danny Granger, ooh, right? And
for
you
those,
just
those of you at home.
And you don't even realize, but you just destroy the team chemistry, right? Because
that's what you don't want to say. You don't want to mess that up. But also, like I was saying about the Pistons earlier, the harsh truth about winning a championship is that sometimes you're just a piece away,
yep,
right? You're just one trade away. And when I was trying to figure out, do the Pistons need a trade to be contenders? They probably do. Honestly, they probably do. Yep. But you don't want to mess up what you have. But sometimes you're going to need, if you want to beat OKC, man, you better come prepared.
And this is where I want to pivot. I love you, Raptors. Mwah. Darko,
mwah.
I love you so much. Jamal Shedd, you're literally my GOAT, and I would trade the entire team for you to be
come
starting.
On, come on the show, bro.
Yeah, come on the show, bro.
Come on the show, bro.
Newly Canadian citizen. Oh, you're my favorite player.
Jamal Shedd, our true point guard.
But let's pivot here because...
Talking about trades,
I want to talk about the Sacramento Kings.
Light the beam. Man, the button must be broken or something because I seen that light go up in a minute, bro. I seen that light a minute.
The sky ain't been purple for a minute, bro. And I want to say...
Wait, can we, just before we get into all the negatives, because that's probably all we're going to talk about.
I don't want to get in the negatives. I'm thinking...
Shout out Russ.
Shout out Russell Westbrook, right?
Love you, Russie.
Shout out Russell Westbrook, but now you mentioned the negatives, and now I have to get into them.
Well, gosh, there's so many.
For those at home who are confused, I'm going to say something mildly confusing to you. There's a stat called per 100 possessions. And per 100 possession means whatever... If we're talking about points per 100 possessions, it's how many points a team can accumulate on average with 100 possessions. Possessions means when the ball is in your hand, right? The starting lineup, or just the lineup of Dennis Schroeder, Russell Westbrook, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and DeMontis Sabonis. A team... Right, and especially a lineup, and that's probably the best players in the Kings, right, in a lineup, minus Keegan Murray and maybe Keon Ellis, right? So those are your star guys, and you're looking at that, and you're going, well, the defense isn't that great, but we're making it up in offense, right? Statistically, that is the fourth worst offense for starting lineups in the NBA per 100 possessions.
Lee.
And that's the best players on the Kings. And currently, Zach LaVine has the worst box plus minus in the entire league at -227.
Good God! And the Wizards are in the league, by the way. If you want to compare.
And what I mean by that is, if for those who aren't stat nerds, is simply they suck.
They're bad.
The team that's supposed to be offense first has no offense and no defense.
And that's not the way you win basketball games, by the way.
No. And so, going back to the Pistons, if you're the Pistons, whose defense is already really good, do you look at this and go to trade for someone like Zach LaVine to help Cade not have the second most field goal attempts in the NBA? Do you look at someone like DeMar DeRozan?
I had. So we talked about, you know, they need to blow it up, right? They need to rebuild.
The Sacramento Kings need to blow up.
Everybody, whoa, blow it up.
And act like I don't know nobody.
No, they obviously need to go into rebuild. I'm really high on their rookie class. Maxime Reynaud and Nick Clifford have shown really good promise. And if you just give them space to rock out, I think it'll be really good. And so now they have this trio, this big three, as they call them. And they're going to help the league massively. I think LaVine to the Bucks makes sense.
You know what's so funny? Because I was thinking, for some reason, the only thing that came to mind for a DeMar DeRozan trade was DeMar to the Bucks.
But that's my problem with DeMar. It's just, he's a ball stopper. And I feel like I struggle to see DeMar, so I just put Clippers. I was like, F it, bro. Just
the thing,
go to the unction and make the unction a real unction.
Okay, so Zach LaVine to the Bucks. I think DeMar DeRozan to the Clippers is how you make the Clippers the worst team in the NBA.
Aren't they already? They are 5-15. I've accepted my fate. They're going to get a higher pick than us, bro. I've accepted my fate. It's fine.
The Clippers it's not even their pick.
Yeah, sorry. The OKC Thunder are going to get a higher pick than us. I've accepted it. By the way, next year, the Thunder still have their swap. They can swap with the Clippers pick. So this is going to go on next year as well.
Oh, my good Lord. But anyways, Zach LaVine to the Bucks. I have a hard time seeing it. Unless Zach...
40% three-point shooter.
Yeah, but...
Another ball creator next to Ryan Rollins and Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, but how low is his value? So who do you trade him for? What Kyle Kuzma?
Well, that's what I was trying to play with the ESPN trade machine, and that's where it gets tough because he makes a whole lot of money.
Yeah, right. So statistically, Zach LaVine is the one that inhibits the Kings games the most, and he also has the highest contract on the Kings.
What, $47 million? I think I've seen. Something
yes,
like that.
It's a ridiculous contract.
Same, bro. And I don't even know if the Bucks have enough like salary to fill all that. You know.
No, I don't think they do, and that's why I don't...
Might be like a three-team trade or something like that.
Yeah.
You can always work it out. They're smart.
But that leaves DeMontis Sabonis.
I really like what we talked about the other day in the bus, which was the Warriors.
Yeah.
I believe, maybe it doesn't make sense on paper, but I really believe that DeMontis on the Warriors would fit right in with that all that playmaking and all that motion offense, you know, that everybody's always
all
moving.
All that motion.
Motion! Oh, that motion, they can, you know, they can find these players for sure. I also had the Pacers.
That's really interesting,
they do,
actually.
Cause the
Pacers- wait. So you're telling me the Pacers get DeMontis Sabonis back?
Yes. And I'm talking about a reunion, bro.
So the Kings have to accept the fact that two players that they once had, Tyrese Haliburton and DeMontis Sabonis, are now both Indiana Pacers?
And that's probably why it won't happen. But listen, the Pacers have a good amount of young players that they could get rid of, right? Salary, yeah. I don't know. But they that could be, I feel like he would really fit in, right? With a Haliburton, that could be a really fun team.
What do you think of DeMontis Sabonis on the Raptors?
No.
Why?
You're already undersized at the center position, and you want to bring him another undersized. So he would have to start, by the way, because his contract is so massive. So who are you putting on the bench?
That's a good point.
Quickly, Barrett, Barnes, Ingram. Who?
It's a good point.
Also, Poeltl, Sabonis, front court. No hate. Horrible spacing.
No, 100%. And that's why I laugh. I texted Libus the other day. The other day is at like 2:30 a.m.
You know.
And I texted him and I said, why are the Toronto Raptors on the forefront of every single one of these bull, not the Chicago Bulls, the bull blank that I can't say on air, trade scenarios.
I'm like, saying, bro, John Morant? No, heck no.
Anthony Davis, DeMontis
Sabonis.
Hey,
we good, bro, we good.
Like, it confuses me because it's not like we have that much room to stick, like plug these players in, and they're like, oh, well, you can just trade half the team because they're useless anyways.
Not locked in. Not locked in at all.
Also, why, like, in an ideal world, if Anthony Davis's contract was, like, tiny,
yeah,
I would take Anthony Davis. I would take it. However, his contract is not tiny, and he cannot play basketball games because he is too injury prone.
Yeah.
Nico.
I've already mentioned them twice on the show today.
Nico? Yeah. My fault, gang. Wait, how? We didn't even... He wasn't...
Harrison? Because I was like...
The Mavs weren't mentioned, nor were the Lakers. Because
I said the Pistons have really trusted the process and blocked out all the outside noise. And I was like, well, maybe it's good to sometimes listen to the outside noise. Nico Harrison. Just giving a little replay for the people that weren't locked in. My bad.
Yeah, I wasn't locked in. But, no. I think that DeMontis... Anyways, going back, regardless of the Raptors... I don't think he's a good fit on the Raptors. I just bring that up because everyone and their mother and at Bleacher Report wants to say that the Toronto Raptors are sniffing for a new trade for this, that, and this. And
you know what would be really good?
Tell me.
Keon Ellis.
For the Raptors?
He could fit in anywhere.
He could fit in anywhere. But the thing is, that's why I think they keep him.
If they rebuild, they have no use for him.
Yeah, but then...
He's not young enough.
So what, you're going to keep Russell Westbrook and Dennis Schroeder?
Yeah, they can be mentors for Nick Clifford, right?
Ooh, dark days for the Kings, eh?
I'm saying, if you're not locked in, go watch like some of these minutes by these two rookies are really impressive. No, Maxi Minow is a 7-foot center who can shoot the three, has an excellent touch inside.
I agree, but also, man, the poor Kings, man.
It's like they came back and they left without achieving anything. And no, it's really sad. No, for real. For a franchise that struggled so long to get back to the playoffs, to now have to go into another rebuild is really sad. Because what, they had one first-round playoff series, and then a couple play-in appearances.
But they did it, like, I could feel bad, but they do it to themselves. I mean, I feel bad for the fans.
Yeah, the fans, I'm sorry. Yeah, the fans.
The thing is that the management did it to themselves.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean... The story with De'Aaron Fox leaving the Kings is that
crazy.
He looked at the management and said, if you fire Mike Brown, I'm leaving. I cannot go on to year six. It's either year six or seven. Ha ha ha. And he said, this would be my seventh coach in 7 years if you fire Mike Brown. I can't do that. I cannot do that.
But right. Apparently it was DeMontis Sabonis that complained about Mike Brown. And then, because obviously De'Aaron Fox didn't want Mike Brown to leave. So if it's not De'Aaron Fox, then who is it? Right? And ever since Mike Brown has been fired, the downfall after that has been insane. Well,
that's
bro.
What I'm saying, because they lose De'Aaron Fox. You can't just be like, all right, DeMontis, it's your turn to get a million points and save our franchise. No, that's not how that works. Then you just rebuild the Bulls in the worst fashionable way in purple. Anyways.
Looks better in purple.
It does look better in purple. But
let me you know what I was gonna say, Kings fans, let me give you a couple of advice about how to tank, but y'all don't need no advice on you know what's coming. Take your blanket, make you a little cup of coffee, and just, you know, hibernate for a couple of years. Because it's you guys are far away. You guys are far away, and I'm no truly for any Kings fans, if you do exist, it's going to be rough.
You cannot be saying if you do exist.
We exist, bro.
Bro,
we
you Washington exist. Wizards fan, bro.
Dog. We do exist.
Remember when y'all thought you were going to get KD, bro?
Why? What did I do, bro? Dog, I thought he was coming. I thought it was going to be KD or Paul George, and we were fiending for a small forward back in the day.
Yep.
And that's why, not to compare the Detroit Pistons to the Washington Wizards, but... In 2016-17, the Wizards were one move away. And the Pistons are in the same boat. You guys are one move away. Don't be stagnant.
Yeah, and if John Wall got a less slippery shower, too. And I love you, John Wall, and I'm so sorry that happened to you. But that did happen.
And John Wall will be on the show next week, guys, so make sure to... I'm playing. Today's show was a big piece together. We like to keep it fun, you know. We like to keep you guys guessing.
That's on me, guys. I was gonna come in and say, never in my 6 years of no. I've been doing this for 8 months, and this is the first time I was late, so I apologize.
You know, we gotta wait for superstars. Superstars don't gotta show up on time. I've always said that. I've always said that.
My fault, gang.
Hey, but no, we'll be back next week, and next week we'll be doing NBA hot takes.
Yeah.
So it should be a really fun episode, and we will both be on time for that.
Yes.
Any last thing you want to say, Max?
I love you, Jamal Shen.
Alrighty, guys. Have an amazing week. Thank you for tuning in, And I'm sending lots of love.
I am too.
Bye.
Moi.
Strong, but it's much too strong.